Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And if you don't want to believe me, I got him on the line with me right now from NBC Sports Philadelphia. The exquisite and talented analyst of football, the great Seth Joyner, is with us. Hi, Seth.
Angelo and crew, how are you guys doing this morning?
Well, I got to tell you, Seth, that was a pretty touch and go there for a while yesterday, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's just the way football is, though. You got to kind of live with that touch and go. It's been a touch and go season most of the year.
All right, let me start with this, Seth. I learned after the game that Malcolm Jenkins and some of the other Eagles were really harassing Cody Parkey before the kick. Is that something you would have done when you played?
Hey, you're playing for a championship, man. All fan, love, and war. Whatever you got to do to get the job done is what it is.
All right, so you would also, if you thought you'd get in the head of an opponent, you'd go right after him, Seth?
That's the point of trash talking. I mean, most players don't trash talk because they just enjoy doing it. You know, I kind of enjoyed it, but, you know, there's some psychological warfare that goes on the football field when you're playing. You know, the game is physical from the standpoint of, you know, what the fan sees, but it's such a mental game. And if I can get into the mind of an opponent, get him thinking about things that, you know, that aren't relevant to the game, you know, then I make my job that much easier. So, hey, I don't have a problem with it. You know, he's kind of finicky anyway. So, you know, if you can get in his mind a little bit, make him pull or push a ball or, you know, mishit it, then all's good.
Seth, let's talk a little bit about handling pressure because you were great at it. You're on a team that was great at it. And now it looks like Nick Foles is really good at dealing with the pressure of the big moment. What do you see when you watch him out there, fourth quarter, needing a drive to tie or win the game? How do you think he's handling that situation?
You know, what I love about Nick Foles is when you listen to him in his post-game press conference, when you listen to him in his midweek press conference, he takes you into his mind. He takes you into the psyche of a football player. You know, last night he talked about being able to quiet your mind, to quiet your nerves, to stay present, to stay in the moment of what you're dealing with. And I think that, you know, when you look at Nick Foles' career and all the things that he's been through from, you know, 27-2 to being traded to, you know, that not working out to thinking about just walking away from the game to being revived, you know, with Andy Reid in Kansas City, then the move here as a backup to come back and then going to the Super Bowl last year and becoming the Super Bowl MVP. You know, what has this guy really been through that he hadn't been able to overcome in the past? Mm. And really this season is, you know, post game last night, and Barrett, you know, referenced the mask, you know, and called it robbing season is what this team is actually doing. I would say, you know, it's overcoming. It's being able to overcome all the things that they've overcome from Nick Foles' past to Carson Wentz's injury and Jason Peters and all the guys that got hurt last year, being able to overcome that, to all the injuries that they've had to endure, the slow start, they're just overcoming the situation. And when I listen to Nick Foles, you know, talk, he's really just taking you into the mind of how a quarterback operates. You don't hear, you know, 99% of the quarterbacks in the league talk the way he talks. He keeps it about us. He keeps it about his teammates. He keeps it about everything. He tries not to make it about himself. He owns up, takes ownership of when he makes mistakes.
Yeah.
But when someone's trying to heap accolades on him, he never makes it about himself. And I don't say that to say that that's what Carson Wentz does, but, you know, he's quite different. You know, when you listen to him talk in comparison to how you listen to other players around the NFL talk.
Interesting. I want to ask you about the other element of handling pressure. Because I agree with you after the game, Seth, that the Eagles won. You know, they got a lucky break on that kick. The narrative is entirely different. The narrative is that the defense did not come up big in that final drive after the long return. And you're saying that they kind of take their foot off the gas a little. They don't use the same level of pressure in a key moment like that. Why don't they? They got burned on it so many times this year. They almost did again yesterday. Why aren't they really pressing the quarterback in key moments?
Well, Angelo, my defensive philosophy is, you know, you have an opportunity to apply pressure. Pressure makes diamonds. Pressure makes great players great, and, you know, not so great players way below average. In the first half, the defensive line was generating great pressure. It made Mitchell Trubisky almost, you know, he looked like he was waiting to fold up and lay down.
Yep.
And in the second half, it seemed like the defensive line got, you know, tired there for a little bit. They weren't getting the pressure. All of a sudden, you take a quarterback who really hadn't done much at all in the first half. I think he was, you know, 13 to 23 for 102 yards or something like that in the first half. And all of a sudden, he catches fire. And I say that because, you know, if you let a guy sit in that pocket, and you're sitting back playing a soft zone. He understands where the holes are. He doesn't have to be a great quarterback. All he needs is time and a little bit of accuracy. And all of a sudden, you can begin to see his confidence grow. Why would you ever do that? Why would you give that guy the opportunity to find his confidence when you have the tools to completely dismantle and take him apart? You know, the Eagles only blitz 17.3% of the time. Why? Why are you in the lower four in all the NFL of blitzing? You know, I'm not saying line up and blitz all the time. I'm not saying line up and run the ball all the time. You know, but if I'm a quarterback and I realize that this defensive coordinator is going to rush four all day long, what do I fear? When do you clock up? When do you ever create doubt in my mind? And you just can't be a great defense if you're not willing at some point to bring pressure. When you look at the great defenses, even the Baltimore Ravens, hey, they lost yesterday, great. But when you look at them defensively, they're one of the top defenses in the league. The Chicago Bears are one of the top defenses in the league. You know where they rank in blitzing? Near the top. They're all in the 35-36 percentile of bringing pressure. And I'm just saying, if the Eagles would just bring pressure 5% more, they would be a more dominant team, because they've lost their share of games this year. The Panthers.
You're right.
The Titans. If you go back to the Rams game, we got a 13-point lead. And instead of us putting Jared Goff to sleep, because I got the video where you can hear, man, they're coming.
Yep.
The pressure. I mean, he's talking about it. And then he references, oh, they're playing this soft defense. He's talking to Sean McVay on the sideline. And he's saying, hey, I'm just going to take these little short passes that they're allowing. And Sean McVay is like, yeah, that's exactly what you should do. And then he goes in the huddle. He's like, guys, listen, I don't need much time. We've got 130 yards and just check down. I heard him say it myself.
Yep.
So this is, if I can see it, the head coach can see it, a young second year quarterback can see it, and he's talking about it. This is what you're projecting. And when you play passive, you make your players passive as a defense coordinator.
Absolutely.
And I hate it.
And I'm going to tell you something right now, Seth. If they do, if Jim Schwartz gets a job offer, I'm going to begin a campaign. The next Eagles defensive coordinator, Mr. Seth Joyner. Yes, I am. And you would take that job if they offered it, right, Seth?
Yeah, this is not a snowball's chance that they
there
offer.
Is.
But trust me, if it was available, I'd take it in a heartbeat.
Thank you. I love it. One last thing, Seth. I gotta know this. Because Barrett Brooks did something crazy. And there's even like a photo out of you smiling on the internet this morning. It went viral because you don't smile that much, right?
I'm always smiling, Angelo.
No, I got to be honest. But Barrett Brooks went on the post game And he went kind of crazy. Here's a little sample of that.
That's what I'm talking about. Okay. Yo, we are here another week, baby. Another week here. That's what I'm talking about. My guys. Woo! Woo! Let's go, baby.
All right. Now, here's the thing, Seth. What were you doing when that ball clanged off the upright? What were you doing? Were you excited? Did you cheer, yell, jump around? What did you do?
Well, absolutely.
You did.
You know, there was a little bit of a reaction. I think you saw that was in that was once we went on the air.
Correct.
Unbeknownst to me, they were taping us as we were sitting there watching the kick. So we weren't on air. We were waiting to go on air as soon as the clock went 0:00.
Okay.
And everybody lost it. Nobody could believe that he missed that kick.
No, but you lost it. Seth Joyner, the model of decorum and intensity, you went nuts, happy, excited that happened.
Angela, let me tell you something.
Yeah.
What they did also is someone on Twitter put up the live video feed of the Chicago pregame crew when he missed the kick.
Really?
And if you could see Lance Briggs and some of these guys, I mean, they were just jumping all over the place. They were shocked. They could not believe that. And what I said during post game, I was like, listen, if you think that former players watching their former teams play in these games and Super Bowls don't have an emotional connection still to that team, then you're crazy.
Wow.
Okay, because we still live and die. Listen, my job requires that I be critical because you know what? What I do is I break down football, I analyze what I see, and I give an opinion based upon my experience, my 13 years of experience in the game of football. It requires me at some point in some time to be critical of what I see. But if you think that I'm not overjoyed by the fact that the Eagles won this game and have an opportunity to go to New Orleans and get redemption, you're crazy. If you don't think that I wasn't overjoyed for the fans of Philadelphia when we won Super Bowl 52 last year, you're crazy. Because
right.
You know what? I live and die. I still bleed green. I live and die with these fans.
That's true.
And the success of this football team.
Seth, I just looked at the tape you're referring to. It's amazing. But I need to see the tape of you guys because I got to tell you something, Seth. Once an Eagle, always an Eagle. That's what you're telling us, and that's why you're always will always be beloved in this town, and soon will be our defensive coordinator. I'm going to work on it right now, Seth. Get ready. You're going to make some big bucks, and we're going to see the old style Eagles defense back on the field. Yeah.
Well, you're a hell of a lot more. There's no one in the world more optimistic than me, Angelo.
Yep.
But you're taking the cake on this defense.
Seth, we love you, man. Thank you so much for coming on. NBC Sports Philadelphia. You'll be on again next week. Thank you, Seth.
You got it, guys. Take care.
Great Seth Joyner, baby.
I looked up the video. Lance Briggs is awesome. Yelling, no, he didn't.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.